It's making you hungry. Well, I might understand. So we'll have to trade off everything. Well, I hope the message is spicy. And I might, although mites are on chickens, I may have to go eat some Mexican food after this. I may. Okay. It sounds better all the time. And I even have my own little Tabasco I can take with me. I won't even have to ask for any. Do you want any hot sauce? No, I brought my own. Because people do that. I know people that do. In fact, I know a friend who does at all times. Has his own hot sauce with him. Bless him. Been thinking about this song for the last probably 30 or 45 minutes. Haven't heard it in a very, very long time. But it's very much the way I feel. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. And then he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me Father, may we leave this place today saying, he touched me. And God, that's not just a prayer that I pray for Keith and that Keith could say he touched me, but that we could all say that God touched me. That we could say that something happened, God. That somewhere in the midst of a song or somewhere in the midst of a verse or somehow, some way in something that I say, God, that people can say that you touched them, Lord. Father, that you could use your word. That you could use your spirit and your power to touch us this morning. With healing, with blessing, God, with encouragement and strength from on high, Lord. That where we are not, you are, God. That where we lack, God, when where we are weak, God, you are strong. You are our strength and our shield and our shelter, God. Our fortress. And I pray, God, that in the midst of this message that you set us on the rock, God, with that firm foundation, Lord. God, that you would minister. That it would be all you. And God, I pray for anointing. Powerful anointing. God, that your word, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, continues to echo in my soul. That your Spirit, in the midst of all of us, would move and bless and encourage and anoint, God, from head to toe. And God, I would have an anointing to deliver this message, your word, God, your powerful word. Lord, I thank you and I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 21. This morning, Matthew chapter 21. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, saying to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. It is Palm Sunday, and it's essentially like any other Sunday, but it's different. It is the same, but it is different. The title of the message is The Same But Different. Because sometimes things are the same. It's Sunday, just like every other Sunday. But it is different because it is Palm Sunday. It is something that we celebrate usually a little differently. I've walked around this sanctuary, I don't know how many times, waving palm leaves and shouting Hosanna and marching around, and I don't know how many times I've done that. But Palm Sunday was always something special, was always a little different at Hosanna, because we're Hosanna, and Hosanna is what they yelled. Hosanna is what they shouted. Hosanna is what they spoke and to praise God as Jesus was entering into Jerusalem. So it is the same, but it is different. And it will always be the same, but it will always be different. Yes, we come to church like any other Sunday, and yes, we celebrate Jesus, but we also celebrate the coming of the King. Because the King was coming, and because the King is coming. And He is coming soon. Oh, Lord. It's almost just going to turn into a worship service because I just can't stop singing. As I'm talking, I start to sing in my spirit. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Yes, Lord. Soon, very soon. That it's not hard to look around and think, yeah, Lord, it could be soon. Could be soon. It could be any day now. And I know that our job is to be prepared. And part of my job is to help make sure others are prepared. Part of your job as well is to help make sure others are prepared. So this is going to be the same, but it is going to be different. And I believe in heaven it's going to be the same, because so many of us that are here are going to be there, but it's also going to be very different. Today we celebrate the beginning of Passion Week, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. We celebrate it because it was His coming to Jerusalem that led to everything else. Passion Week is one of those weeks that always makes me feel such a mixture of emotions, because it's great that Jesus came to Jerusalem, and it's great that he celebrated the Passover with the disciples, and it's great His resurrection. But there's a lot of stuff in between that it's really hard to celebrate. Good Friday is the most difficult thing sometimes for me to celebrate. Yes, it was good for me, but man, it was so not good for Him. and the Garden of Gethsemane was good for me, not so good for him. So Passion Week is one of those things that we celebrate, but sometimes it's difficult for me to celebrate because it is in part because of my sinfulness that Passion Week even had to happen. It's because of my past that he even had to take up the cross. It's because I've made so many mistakes, and so have you, that he had to take up the cross. So Passion Week is really difficult, but it's amazing at the same time. We celebrate Passion Week. We celebrate Palm Sunday because Jesus entered Jerusalem, but also because it's 1 week until the resurrection of Jesus. Oh, spoiler alert for anybody that didn't know. That's what happens next Sunday. Next Sunday, the tomb was empty. Next Sunday, the stone was rolled away. Next Sunday, they ran to it. And they found angels there saying, he's changed his address. He's not here anymore. You're going to have to forward that mail somewhere else because he is not here. He is risen. But it begins, all of it begins with the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. It all begins in Matthew 21, verses 4 and 5. It all begins, this was spoken thousands of years before Jesus came. Behold, your king is coming to you, gentle, mounted on a donkey. A king on a donkey is just the greatest, one of the greatest conflicting things. I almost said oxymoronic, but I don't think that really fits. But for a king to be riding a donkey just didn't make sense. It doesn't fit. Like me in skinny jeans, it just doesn't fit. First part of the story. Okay, y'all can stop laughing anytime now. I'm starting to get really self-conscious, okay? Verse 1, chapter 21. When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. This is one of my favorite things that Jesus ever told anyone to do. Because when you read it, what it sounds like Jesus is telling the two disciples is, hey, go ahead into Jerusalem and steal a donkey and her colt. I mean, that's what it sounds like. You're going to find a donkey and a colt. Just take them. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Just go and get them. Bring them to me. It's the greatest thing ever. Because in my mind, I'm thinking the two disciples walk away going, did he tell us to steal a donkey? Yeah, and a colt. Like, I can't imagine the conversation that happens. Are we really going to do this? Well, yeah, it's Jesus, man. He told us to, you know, I mean, just the whole conversation between when they left Jesus and when they got to the house where the donkey was, it's like there's this whole, like they have to come to grips with the fact that Jesus told them to steal a donkey. And like they have to have the nerve to do this thing that Jesus told them to do. You know? What's going to happen? I don't know. But it's Jesus, so I think it's going to be okay. You know, like, well, how am I going to tell my wife if I get arrested? I'm just going to say, Jesus told me to? Am I going to tell the officers, hey, it's okay, officer, Jesus needs them, right? I mean, he literally says, if anybody says anything, tell them, verse 3, the Lord has need of them. Oh. Now, I'm not suggesting you go to Walmart and try this. Right? Like, I'm going to tell you one thing that I want. This screen, this projector right here is starting to have some little fading issues and some stuff. So I want to put like a couple of great big TVs here that are going to give a better picture. And right? I'm not saying you go to Walmart and grab a 65-inch TV and say, the Lord needs this, right? When the security guy stops you. I'm not saying you do that. I mean, there are people, I'm sure, at Payne County Jail who have tried something like that, but I'm not saying that's not how we're going to go about that. I'm just make sure we understand that I'm not saying we do this. And I know that Jesus had a regular tendency to send his disciples on missions. Hey, go and do this. Hey, go here. Hey, go minister to this. Hey, go speak to this person. Hey, go touch this person. Go heal, go pray for, whatever. He did that. Sent them out by twos at one time. Said, hey, go out by twos and, you know, and do all these things. Whatever comes to you, handle that, pray for it, whatever. Right? So it was the same because he had sent them out before, but it was different because he was telling them to take a donkey and a colt. Not no money. He didn't hand them, you know, hey, here's $100. Go see if you can buy me a colt, a donkey and a colt. He just said, hey, there's going to be one there and just take it. There's steps of faith right there. And I'm sure they had to build up their faith the whole way. And I think between the two of them, they encouraged each other. Well, it is Jesus, I know, and he does do miracles, I know, and he did walk on water, I know, but are we going to do this? Yeah, I think we're going to do this. Okay, all right, I'm with you. So they keep going, and they get to this place, and they find it just as he said they would. They find the donkey and the colt, and they untie them. And they start heading back. You know, it's the same, but it's different because Jesus was asking them to have faith and trust in him. Trust me, this is going to be okay. Trust me, this is what's going to happen. And they could have said, hey, Jesus, I'm not stealing a donkey for anybody. Or, hey, Jesus, I'm not going to jail for you. Or, hey, Jesus, could you lay out the plan a little more in detail for me? You know, is whose house is it? Do you have the address? Can you give me a GPS coordinate? Can you, you know, because I need to put it in my Waze app so I can get there. Because I don't want to go to the wrong house and take the wrong donkey. He just says, go in there. There's going to be one right there. And just grab it, bring it, and it's going to be perfect. It's going to be good. And if anybody says anything, just tell them, hey, Jesus needs it. And it's going to be okay. So it was the same because he's telling them, sending them on a mission. But it's different because they had to operate in trust. Well, that's really not different, though, is it? It's really not different in a lot of ways because any time that God calls us or asks us or encourages us to do something, it does still require trust for us to do that. Right? We do still have to put our faith in him, our trust in him when we believe he's called us to do something. And okay, but Lord, could you tell me exactly how that's going to work or exactly what I'm supposed to say? There's so many of us that, like, I have had that tendency in my life, in my spiritual walk, to say, okay, Lord, I will 100% do that thing that you called me to do if you'll just lay it out before me how I'm supposed to do it. Who it is that I'm supposed to talk to. What it is that I'm supposed to say. Where am I supposed to go exactly? Who's exactly going to be there? Like, I want every detail before I go. But that's just not the way the Lord works. He just says, go. Just like he did with the disciples. Just trust me, it's going to be there. And trust me, it's going to happen. And I can tell you, I've never been let down by the Lord. When he told me to go, I went, and it worked out perfectly. Not to say there weren't ever any moments that I didn't wonder or question. Not to say there weren't any moments that, like, that very next step was a really hard step to take. But yet, if I took it, God continued to make the way because we sang, he is a way maker. And we have to continue to sing songs like Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, to remind ourselves that he is all of those things. We have to do that because it makes those moments when he asks us to trust him easier for us to trust him. If we continue to have those songs echoing in our heart, those verses and scriptures echoing in our heart and in our mind and in our thoughts. Okay, God, you are the way maker, so I'm just trusting you that you're making the way. Even before I take the step, you're making the way. That you're doing it even before I start doing anything, God. The prophet spoke of verse 4 and 5 of chapter 21 of Matthew, of how the king of Zion would enter riding on a donkey, and that's exactly how Jesus came. And maybe that scripture, maybe knowing that prophetic word helped the two disciples, God bless you, helped them to make that journey to go get the donkey. Maybe they knew that. I don't know if they did or not. It would have helped me if I had known that, oh yeah, this is a prophetic word that was spoken years ago about Jesus, that he would enter Jerusalem on a donkey. Well, that would help. Okay. So we're just fulfilling prophetic things. Yeah, okay. That would help. I read a book once that talked about the number of prophecies that Jesus fulfilled in his lifetime, and it was in the hundreds, maybe even thousands of prophecies that he fulfilled that were written in the Old Testament about him. And the book, which was so amazing, talked about, went into the numbers of how the odds of one person fulfilling just one prophecy that was spoken in the Old Testament. There were great odds. But if one person was going to fulfill 10 prophecies of the Old Testament, the odds were like in the millions. But for one person to fulfill the number of prophecies that Jesus himself fulfilled in his lifetime is just unimaginable. The number, it's like billions, trillions, like they don't even have words for the number of zeros that it would have required. Like the odds of one person doing everything that Jesus did that was spoken of in the Old Testament, it just was never going to happen. It had to be because God spoke it. It had to be because it was God. It had to be because it was Jesus, the one and only, the only begotten Son. It had to be him who was sent, not someone who decided to. The odds were too great against it being anything other than a God thing. It would never have been done had it not been for it being ordered and directed by God. Verses 8 and 9 of Matthew chapter 21 says, most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Verse 8 shows that they were doing everything they could to prepare the way for Jesus. Throwing their coats, maybe even taking off their shirts and putting them on the road. And then if they didn't have something they could put on the road, they're cutting branches off of the trees to spread out on the road. What I studied and what I read was, this was not uncommon for this to happen for the entrance of a king, but only for the entrance of a king. They didn't do this because, hey, Joe's coming into town. let's go put our coats on the road for him. It was only because of the entrance of a king that they would act this way and throw their coats down on the road and throw palm leaves and branches and whatever they could to prepare the way for him. It was only because they believed the king was coming. That's the only reason they did it. There's one word I noticed this morning as I was reading out of verse 8. The very first word in verse 8. Most. Always got to be a few. Ah, my coat's too nice. I just got this for Christmas. Well, it's my Easter coat. It's my Passover coat. I can't put that on the road. Do you know what that donkey's going to do on that? If I put that on the road? Do you know what could happen to it? Yeah, there's a few options there. But the rest of them said, I'll do it for the king. I'll give it for the king. Because what he's coming to do, I'll give. Because of who he is, because of what his coming means, I'll give. I'll do it. I'll throw my coat. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll cut branches. I'll climb to the highest part of the tree to cut the top branches out if that's what it takes to prepare the way for the king, because he's the king. Because he deserves it. The honor, the glory, the praise, he deserves all of it. Because he's my king. That's who deserves it. That's why they did it. Because they believed the king was coming. And then after they do all of that, then they begin to shout. I love it because it says that the ones that were in front of him and the ones that were behind him. And my heart says that the ones that were beside him. And the ones that were catty corner, it was one of those moments where somebody started shouting, "Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna!" And it just started to echo because somebody else said, "Yeah, Hosanna, Hosanna!" Hosanna was a shout of praise. Hosanna was akin to hallelujah. It was akin to glory to God. It was a shout of praise, giving glory and honor to the king, to God. And so they started to shout, the ones in front, the ones behind, the ones around. It started to just get louder and louder and louder because it was the king that was coming. It was the king that showed up. So there was this great commotion that was happening because they believed something about this king that was coming. They believed Jesus was the king that was promised to them. They believed he was the one that was to come. But what they believed wasn't exactly what he was coming to do. Because they thought he was going to do one thing, but he was actually coming to do another. They thought he was going to take over the palace. They thought he was going to kick out the old king or kill the old king or whatever he had to do to get them out of leadership, out of rule and out of reign. They thought he was coming to take over Jerusalem and all of Israel. They thought he was coming to do what most kings did when they were coming into a town to conquer and to take over. And that was get rid of everybody that wasn't for him and start his kingdom and establish his kingdom. And that he was going to do all of these things that they normally saw kings do and heard and read of kings doing when they were taking over a kingdom. And so they were shouting because that's what they thought was coming. They believed he was sent from God, but they also believed that he was going to handle things a certain way and do things a certain way because that's how things had always been done. And he was going to do those things. It was the same, but it was going to be different. He was coming to take over the kingdom, but not an earthly one. They believed he was coming to establish a kingdom, but they thought it was an earthly kingdom. And he came to establish a kingdom that was a heavenly kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom unlike any other kingdom that had ever been born or made or existed. They thought he was coming to save them. And he was, but not how they thought he was coming to save them. It was the same, but it was different. They thought they were going to have this great new ruler who they could trust and depend on and count on, who would take care of all of the people that they had been beaten by and rejected by and mistreated by. They thought he was going to take care of all of those things, and he was, just not the way they thought he was. The thing is, God doesn't always do things how we expect him to. He generally does them better. And he generally doesn't do things when we ask him to. But his timing's always better. God would rather do things how they need to be done than how you expect them to be done. He would rather do things when he knows it needs to happen rather than when you think it needs to happen. Because like me, most of our timing's off. Like me, most of the time, I'm ready to see it happen now. And God says, yeah, there's a better time. There's a better moment coming where this is going to do way more than if I did it right now. Because if I do it right now, this is the way the Lord works with me. If I do it right now, Seth, he calls me by my first name. If I do it right now, because of your prayer, you can say, well, I prayed and God did it. He'd rather wait a little longer so that I know it's not my prayer. It's his power. That's the difference. His power is better than my prayer. And I wonder if we have any expectation this resurrection season. I wonder if we have any expectation. Do we expect God to do things the same old way? Do we expect to have the same old thing? We're going to have Easter dinner. Hey, you know what? That's changed a little bit because I don't think there was one last year, right? Because everything got shut down, so everything changed. Maybe we'll appreciate Easter dinner together a little more than maybe we would have last year. Not saying you don't, just saying maybe it's possible, okay? Don't look at me that way. But maybe there's something. Maybe this last year, God has used to change some of our perspectives on some things and our thoughts and ideas on some things. And maybe now this had to happen so that God could change what we expected to happen and what we were grateful for, because now suddenly I'm going to be so much more excited about eating a meal together with you next Saturday, because some of you I haven't got to eat a meal with yet. And maybe there's some of y'all that I haven't even tasted your cooking yet. And that's, bless the Lord. It's a Okay, I got to stop talking. I already mentioned skinny jeans. And and maybe we thought God was going to do something a certain way. And maybe this resurrection season, God's saying, why don't you let me do it? And stop trying to do it yourself. That rings true in my spirit. Why don't you stop trying to do this on your own power? And why don't you start knowing, trusting, and believing? If I sent my disciples ahead to get a donkey that I knew was going to be there without giving them any money to get the donkey that I knew was going to be there, if I sent them and they trusted me enough to go what they thought was steal a donkey for me, then maybe you can trust me enough to go and do this thing that I'm telling you to do. And maybe that thing is simply sit and wait. Because some of us, like, you could ask us to go to Africa, and that would be easier than asking us to sit and wait. Because we think, well, but Lord, I could do this. And but Lord, I could help this way. And but Lord, I could. And but Lord, and he says, you know, I just need you to hang out here for a minute. Kind of like Jesus when he went to the well. Didn't send his disciples, which I think is awesome. Maybe he knew they weren't patient enough to wait at the well for the woman. Maybe he knew that the woman needed to hear from Jesus. Whatever it was, he knew the right way to go about it. He knows the right way to go about what you got going. He knows the right time. He knows the right person and the right place. Resurrection season is all about Jesus, but it's also all about us. Because he died for us. He entered Jerusalem of his own free will. That's how passionate he was about you knowing him. He was so passionate about you coming to heaven that he said, I'm going to Jerusalem where they're going to beat me. I'm going to Jerusalem where they're going to mock me. I'm going to Jerusalem where they're going to spit on me. And I'm going to Jerusalem where they're going to nail me to a cross. Where I'm going to die the most cursed death according to the Bible. Cursed is anyone who's hung on a tree. I'm going to do all of this because of you and me and my children. And my daughter-in-laws, and my wife, and my in-laws, and my family, and my friends. And he did it for each and every one of us, no more than the other one. And he did it like they thought he was going to do it, but differently. He came to Jerusalem to establish a kingdom, but it wasn't a kingdom like they had ever experienced. And it wasn't a kingdom that was just for the Jews. Because when he came into Jerusalem, he began to graft us into the family of God. That was when the adoption process began. That we would no longer be called by our name, but by his name. Because of that process beginning, because he stepped foot in Jerusalem, because he came in riding on a donkey, everything began. The adoption papers were filed, and your name change was happening. And he did it the way the Word said he was going to do it. But it looked different than what they thought it was going to look. This resurrection season, I feel like we need to remove our man-made expectations of what things are going to look like and feel like and taste like. Because it's going to be the same. It's going to be Resurrection Sunday. But I think it's already been and going to continue to be different. And maybe it's different this year because we get to be together. And maybe it's different this year because some of us are still going to be masked up. And I encourage you, don't ever, ever, ever not wear a mask if you want to wear a mask. It's going to be different because we are going to be socially distanced. It's going to be different because some of those things are still in place. But we're still going to be together, sharing a meal. We're still going to be doing everything that we would want to do. I can't wait to watch little kids running around the yard here, hunting Easter eggs, filling up baskets, being blessed by all that the church has given. I can't wait to share a meal with you. And I cannot wait for Resurrection Sunday when we can stand and we can say, He is risen. He is risen. It's going to be the same, but it's going to be different. But I think different's good. Because if it had been the same, it wouldn't have been Jesus. If the king that came was going to do things like every king that had come before him, it wouldn't have been Jesus. It had to be the same, but it had to be different. And it's been different ever since. And some of us have liked the same because we like our routines and I know what to expect. But I think God wants us to expect the unexpected. And I think the last year He's been trying to teach us that. Hey, maybe be a little more flexible than you have been. Hey, maybe things are going to be a little different. But I'm still here and I'm still good. You see, He has been doing things. Even when you didn't know He was doing things, He was there the whole time through all of the COVID stuff, through all of the lockdown, through all of the issues and the questions and the concerns. He was there through all of it, and He's going to continue to be there because His kingdom has been established because Jesus came into Jerusalem, because He was arrested and crucified and died and placed in a tomb. And on Sunday, He was resurrected. Thank you, Lord, that He was resurrected. He is risen. And because He's risen, because of His resurrection, we will be resurrected one day when the trumpet sounds. The dead in Christ will rise and the rest of us will meet Him in the air. Oh, what a reunion it's going to be. So as we close out this message today, maybe you've been praying about something. And maybe your prayers have been, God, would you do this? And maybe, like me, you've said, God, I'd like for it to look like this. would you be okay if he did it? And it didn't look like that. His ways are better. I'm going to tell you, I've seen him do things that I've asked him for, but man, they didn't look anything like how I thought they were going to look. But I think that's just the way the Lord works. It never is going to look how you think it's going to look. But it's always going to look better. So whatever it is that you're praying for, I'm going to close this service out with a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask you, with a simple action, and I'm not even going to look around. And maybe it's provision. And you think, Lord, if you could just send a check that would show up in my mailbox, made out to me for this much money. Maybe it's, God, could you send someone to say the right thing to my kids? Or maybe it's, could you send somebody to say something to my sister or my brother that would help us resolve our issues? Maybe it's, could you send somebody to talk to my spouse? Because things need to change. Maybe it's just that you need a new king. Because maybe your king has been money. Maybe you didn't even know it, but the king of your world was stress or anxiety. Maybe you didn't realize that you had given them that power. Maybe you need physical healing. Maybe you just need something spiritual to happen. And you think it's going to look a certain way. Whatever it is, maybe I didn't name it, maybe it's something else. As I pray, if you're willing for what you need to look different than what you think, would you just raise your hand and acknowledge, God, I'm going to let you be king. I'm just going to celebrate you as the king. Hosanna, Hosanna. And I'm going to let you be king, God. And so you're going to say how whatever happens, happens. And though it may not look how I think it's supposed to look, it's still going to look good, God. It's going to look better than what I thought it was going to be if it had happened my way. God, help me to remove my expectations, my preconceived notions of what this needs to look like, God. Let me surrender my preconceived notions unto you, Lord. That whatever it is for each and every one of us, God, that we would lay those preconceived notions down. That I expect you're just going to heal miraculously, Lord. But you just bring the right doctor to me. I expect the check's just going to show up. But maybe you just bring the right job opportunity to me. God, I would ask that you would help us to be flexible enough to go with your way, your plan, your guidance, your direction, Lord. Though it might look different, it's still going to look good. So, Father, help us to be willing and able and flexible for your plan and for your ways. Father, I pray that you would be with us throughout the rest of this week, this Passion Week, Lord. Daily, help us to remember your Son on the cross for us. Bring us back Wednesday night to celebrate communion together, to eat at your table, Lord, as a family, as your family, God, grafted into your family. Lord, I pray that you continue to move in spirit and in power in our lives as we leave this place, as we have surrendered today our preconceived notions unto you, Lord God, and that you're going to continue to do what only you can do, God, and you're going to do it how you know is best, Lord. So help us to be able to see how your way is best. Father, I thank you for our time together, your spirit, your presence in this place, Lord. Oh, Jesus, I thank you. And I surrender my preconceived notions unto you. Bless us and keep us, Lord. Let your face shine upon us. Give us rest and peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, celebrate Palm Sunday together. Enjoy your day. Youth, we'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock.